If you take your Bibles this morning, and I have two markers, and I just pulled the wrong marker. I'm in the Old Testament. So we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. If you'd look there this morning, Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read just the first 17 verses this morning, and then we'll get into our lesson. John chapter 15, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love me, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." I want to teach this morning on the topic of just be a branch. Just be a branch. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house once again. And Father, we just ask as we now open your word, Father, that, Lord, first of all, I pray you just give me clarity of thought and speech. And Father, that I'd say those things that would be just helpful and beneficial as we look into your word. And God, we know that your word is effectual. And God, I pray that we'd hear that which you would instruct us. And Father, not just that we'd hear, but we'd be doers of your word. And Father, we just ask that today you'd meet with us. And Lord, would have been better for being in your house today and hearing from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever struggled in your walk with the Lord and maybe even ask yourself, how can I make this thing, this Christianity thing, work in my life? You know, there's no passage in the Bible, I think, that better answers that question than Jesus' words here in John chapter 15. You know, you may even struggle with the question almost to the point of just giving up. Man, this Christianity thing, it's just so hard. How do I make it? Maybe just in my daily life, it seems like maybe other people are just seem cut out for that. But ever felt like, man, I just don't seem cut out for that. It just seems always so difficult. And the truth is, we need to understand what Jesus is saying here in our passage. In verse 16, he talks about his will for us in our life. He says this in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Why? "That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. God's will is that we, God's intention for us, he's designed every one of us, if we know him as our Savior, to be fruitful. And the question we'd ask this morning, are you bearing the fruit of, that God has designed you to produce in your life? And so what exactly is that kind of fruit that God wants to produce in our life? And there is that fruit of seeing souls won, brought to the Lord, but there's also the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about that, and it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All those, really, what he's looking for is the life of Jesus Christ being expressed through you and me. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You take all those elements of that, and those are the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his character, it's his work, it's his will being done and through our lives, and so that others' lives can be impacted by his love that flows through us. That's what he's designed us to do. And really, if you think about that, that's a little overwhelming. That I'm to let God just, I mean, all this that God expects in my life here. Can any of us do the work of Christ to be his representatives on earth, to love the way that he loves, demonstrate that fruit of the Spirit in our own way, in our own strength? It's an impossibility. It's impossible for me to do all those things in and of myself. And you know, Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? And we'd have to say, well, not me. But the good news is, we don't have to do all that. All we have to do is allow him to do it through us. And that's a very different matter. In fact, a whole lot of frustration can come into our lives when we don't understand that distinction. Paul makes that distinction in Galatians chapter 5 when he's talking about, he contrasts those works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. And now, normally, you know, we think you'd contrast bad works with good works. But, you know, the works of the flesh, and those are bad works, the works of the flesh. I mean, you look at that list, that's not a list that you want to have in your life. But these things they're those things that produced out of our flesh and they're contrary to the will of God. But the good that is produced in our life, that is not called works in that passage. Notice what it's called. It's called fruit. And fruit is something that you don't do. Fruit is something that is naturally happens when God's life is producing godliness in our life. We don't have to make it happen. All we have to do is let it happen in our life. When we're surrendered to the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit living in our life. Just think this morning about the job of a branch. And that's what we're getting into, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But the job of a branch, a branch is just an extension of the vine. It doesn't have to produce life. It receives its life from the vine, and it doesn't have to decide what kind of fruit it produces. It just, as the life of the vine flows through it, it just naturally produces the fruit that's consistent with what the vine is. The life is in the vine, and the vine does it all. The vine extends its root into the soil. It draws the minerals and nutrients and the moisture. The vine sends the sap to the branches, and so that fruit, as a result, comes and buds and comes forth. It's impossible for a branch to function as the vine. And the branch, see, the branch in and of itself doesn't have life in and of itself. It's totally dependent on the vine for its life and for its productivity. The mistake that we make a lot of times in our life, and where the frustration comes in, I believe, is we try to be the vine, and when we're just a branch, and we want to make all these things happen, and Jesus has to remind us, no, you're the branch. All we have to do is be a branch. Life is very frustrating for a branch that's trying to be a vine. It's very frustrating. Now, Jesus, in our text here, in this passage of John 15, first of all, he starts out by explaining this relationship. It's a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he illustrates that to us. He explains that to us here in chapter 15. But in the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 14, he's concluding one portion of his teaching, and he concludes that, and they're in the upper room there, and now they conclude that, and he ends the chapter, and he says by telling them, it ends with arise and let us go hence. And so it's fair to assume that that's what they did. He was teaching them in there. They concluded, they sung a hymn. And he says, arise, let's go hence. And so we assume that they just did that, and they're on their way from there, on their way to Gethsemane. And it's possible as they were going, maybe he passed the vineyard and he sees, there, he begins another to teach them once again with the illustration of the vineyard, of the vine and of the branch. And in John 15:1, he says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, he says clearly, he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. There's that relationship. He says, I'm the vine. He says, you're the branches. Why does Jesus consider it so important that they understand this relationship that he's describing? He's about to be crucified. He's no longer in the flesh going to be with them. And so now, how are they going to deal with everything that he's taught them, the persecution that'll come? How are they going to challenge this might of Rome with the message of Jesus Christ? How are they going to successfully fulfill the call of God in their lives? Their natural inclination could be of one of two. It's just, man, that's impossible. Let's just give up. Or they would try to do it. Hey, we'll just do it. And just in our own strength, we'll just suck it up and we'll just muscle through it. And just in our own strength, we're going to do that. Neither way will work. They're going to have to learn how to allow God's life to flow through them and let them accomplish his purpose through them. That's the way Jesus operated. He was dependent. Yes, he was all God, but he was all man, and he was always submissive to the will of God. He says, I do only those things which I hear of my Father. He was surrendered to the will of God, and he needed them to be just the same. They need to learn to operate the way that Jesus had operated. And this perhaps, I believe really in our life, the greatest frustration and the greatest times of discouragement is, when we just, man, I can't do it. And I just feel like, man, in this Christian life, I just don't feel like I'm a failure. And, you know, those feelings, maybe, believe it or not, that may be the beginning of your victory. Because until you realize, until you and I realize, hey, we can't do this. We can't live this. Until I realize, hey, in my own strength, it's impossible. Hey, I'm going to keep struggling. I've got to come to that place where, hey, I just can't do it. And we can't. And nobody can do it that way, truthfully. We've got to understand that the first thing these disciples had to know and the first thing you and I need to know is, what our relationship with the Lord really is. And Jesus here says it's the relationship of a branch and a vine. And we've got to realize that vine, it's demonstrated by that relationship. The branch has no life of its own. It's dependent upon that vine for the life. The branch can't produce fruit by itself. It's that vine that produces the fruit through the branch. You know, we think we know that, but that's one of those things. If you've been in church and you've heard that, and this is not a new message to many of you, and we go, I know that. But really in our life, we are so forgetful. And we keep thinking, I got to do this. I got to do this. And we don't. And we keep wanting to, we forget that relationship. We're the branch and he's the vine. In the relationship between the branch and the vine, it really can be summed up in just one word. And that word is simply dependence. We're dependent upon him. I'm dependent upon Jesus as the vine to supply his life flow in me so that what is produced is the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of his life flowing rather than the work of my efforts, no matter how well they are intended. My life is just simply to be an extension of his life. And we need to get our mind thinking that way. Hey, it's not my will. It's not my things. We're an extension of his life and his will. And, put that out of the pulpit there. All right. And so, that's what Jesus is, teaching here. Our lives need to be lived in light of that truth. In contrast to what Jesus is teaching here, most of the time in our lives, we try to be the vine. And we act as if Jesus is an attachment to us. And, you know, it's kind of like a bicycle wheel. You've got the hub, and you've got all those spokes that come from the hub. And, you know, all these different areas of our life, like those spokes. And you know what? We want to add Jesus like just another spoke in the wheel. But in reality, he's that hub that holds all the spokes together. And so he's the vine. In this illustration that Jesus is giving, he's the vine. And it's him that does the work. We're dependent on him. He's not dependent upon us. I'm dependent upon the Father has the vine dresser. And one of the things he does in our life, Jesus says here is that he takes care of the vine. He oftentimes he'll prune things in my life that'll rob me of fruitfulness. Obviously, it's sin that blocks the flow of God's fellowship and God's blessing in our life, and it robs me of fruitfulness. There's the things of cares of this life, the distractions, things of the world, worldliness, even things that maybe not evil in and of themselves, but they're just things that aren't necessary in my life to serve the Lord, and things that may just need to be cut away. There are attitudes in my life that the Lord has to deal with me with, and outgrowths of fleshly ambition or jealousy or pride or things that may need to be cut out of our life. And that's the work of the Father in our life. Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. And he says that the Father, he's the husbandman. And sometimes he says in verse 2, he says it this way, every branch that beareth not fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You ever seen a prune tree? You ever, where we come in Yakima, Yakima is apple country. I mean, most, you get a good apple. There's a good chance it came from Yakima or maybe Wenatchee over there in that east side of Washington. A lot of apples grown in that area. But you know what? There's times after the growing season and kind of the wintertime where they'll take and they'll prune those trees. Now, when it's blossom time and the apple blossoms, I mean, it's pretty and you see. And then when there's trees loaded with fruit, but when it's pruned, they don't look very pretty. A prune tree kind of looks bare and naked and right after it's been pruned, it doesn't look as good as a tree that's just full of fruit. You know, and there are seasons, it may be season in our life where fruit just seems to flow and God's blessing and man, just things are happening, not just in our life, but sometimes we see that even in our church and we feel, man, just victorious. We feel that maybe, man, people appreciate what I'm doing. Lives are being impacted and changed and people are getting saved. And man, it seems like we're having such a positive impact. And then there's some of the seasons where you just feel like a stub. I mean, just like a pruned tree. And, you know, there's no beautiful green foliage. All that's vanished. People certainly aren't very impressed with you. And you feel like maybe there doesn't seem to be much left. And, you know, you're in those seasons where you wonder if you'll ever produce anything again. And all you do there is, all you can do really is just hang in there and know that the Father is, He's a very capable vine dresser. And you know, there, the guys, when you talk about those that are pruning those trees and you got guys that, I mean, they know how to clip, and if you got a branch that's going straight up, or they'll clip that, or if they're going, I mean, there's an art to that almost. I'd get out there and try, and when I'd try to prune my trees, sometimes you think, man, if I get done pruning everything that I think they need pruned, this, there's not going to be any tree left, you know? But hey, we have a capable vine dresser in the Father, and He knows exactly what to cut, and He knows exactly what we need. He's not pruning our life as a rejection because we're, maybe even because we're unfruitful. He's working in our life for the purpose of that would produce even more fruit. As you take care of a tree, a properly pruned tree will produce even more fruit than a unpruned tree would, just left to itself. In John 15 here, just remember Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's talking to, really in our term, to Christians here. And He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see, we've been born of that incorruptible seed of the word of God. And God's word, you know, it's found a place in our heart and led us to commit our life and our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to call upon Him to save us. And so if you've done that, and then we are already in Christ and we're in that relationship now with Christ, in where He says He's the vine and now we're the branch. And so based upon that relationship, Jesus tells us there's one thing we're to do. Look at verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Our responsibility to the Lord, knowing that relationship of vine and branch, then our job is just simply to abide in Him, is to abide. It runs all the way through this passage for us. And it simply means that word abide. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It just means hang in there. Don't leave. It just means you stay right there with the vine. You know, imagine we came from, again, just Washington State. And of course, the main hub out of there is Seattle, SeaTac there. And imagine if we were going to put a child on a flight from Seattle to Dallas. Now, to do that, usually there's a stop in Denver. Is where you usually stop, and then you fly on to Dallas. Now, we've already, there's going to be a brief stop there and nonstop from there to Dallas, and we've made arrangements for that child to just, to have a safe and successful trip. We've got family members that are going to be there in Dallas to pick him up and take him back home, but you've arranged, the stewardess is going to walk the child to the plane there, get them in their seat, and we've already made arrangements. When they stop in Denver, it's just stay in your seat, and if you'll just stay there, and then then from there on, it will take him to the destination in Dallas. And what you would tell your child, you'd just say, hey, all you have to do is you follow them, and when you get in there, just stay in your seat. And really, you know, in our life, in this journey of life, Jesus says, hey, just stay there. Stay in your seat. Abide in me. He says, just stay put. I'll get you home. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And so he's just saying, hey, just be patient. Just stay with it. Stay connected to the vine. Just stay right there where we're supposed to be in that relationship. And so he tells them our responsibility is to abide. And what it means, and we're just to abide. He goes on to say, we're to abide in him. We're to abide in his love. In verse number 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you, continue ye, or he could say, abide ye in my love. What does that mean? Does it mean that Christ might stop loving me? No, his love for us, his love for you and I is everlasting and it's unconditional. He'll never stop loving you, but on our part, through our disobedience, we can remove ourselves from the benefits of his love by the, you know, you look at the illustration of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He left his father's presence, but the father never stopped loving the son. But by his own decision, that son left the loving atmosphere of his home and wandered into a land full of hardship and trouble. And all the while, his father was still there at the farm, waiting for him, loving him. But the prodigal had left that provision that deprived him of his father's love. And it was only that when he returned to that place that he expressed the love of his, experienced the love of his father. It was there. That love was there all along. He had just removed himself from that place of blessing. And so we need, Jesus said that we're to continue in his love. We're to stay in that place of blessing with the Lord. That's why Jude writes in his epistle in verse 20 and 21, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that's not, again, not that God would stop loving us, but sometimes we remove our sin. We've got to be diligent that I stay in that place of fellowship, that place of allowing the blessings of God to work in my life, that I'm not removing from that. It means we're all, this thing to abide also means we obey his commands. We're in error when we think that we can just ignore the revealed will of God in our life and ignore the boundaries and the commandments of the Word of God and just do whatever we want and think that, hey, we're just going to be fine. I'll just do, you know, this is, I know what the Bible says, but this is what I want to do. How many times have we caught ourselves just saying that? And you know, but Jesus said in John 15 here in verse 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. He continues to link that love, to link obedience with love. And it's the key to abiding is, the key is obeying. If we want to abide, we need to obey. He says, Jesus said, if you obey, he says, you'll abide. What happens when I disobey? I remove myself from the flow of God's Spirit. I grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and therefore I deprive myself of the life flowing nutrients necessary to flourish as a fruitful Christian. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is just, it's irrevocably linked with obedience. If we really love God, we'll obey him. And the way we abide in him and in his love is simply just to obey what he tells us, obey his commandments. You know, there's wonderful things that happen when we live in this relationship, when we stay connected to the branch to the vine. There's some wonderful benefits. Jesus goes on to tell us we have a reward, if you would, for continuing to abide. Verse number 11, one of those is we experience joy in our life. We experience joy. Verse number 11, he says this, and these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus wants to share his joy with you and I. He wants, and how that happens is, as I live in fellowship with Christ, his joy then can fill my heart. And when this joy fills my heart, listen, I have the joy of the Lord, and man, it's just evident in my life. But it comes from that. That's a result, a benefit of that relationship. It's also this abiding, this remaining, this communing with Christ also causes us not just to have the love of Christ in us and the joy of the Lord, but it also, another benefit is, it causes us to love one another. And in verse number 12, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now that's a pretty high standard of love. He doesn't just say love one another, you know. I mean, there is the Bible where it said we're to love, husbands, love your wives as you love your own self. You know, and then there are those who say, well, you know, I got to learn to love myself and then I'll love. No, because he goes on, Paul says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but we love ourselves pretty well. But Jesus doesn't even say, love one another as you love each other, though, I mean, we are to do unto others, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But he gives it higher than that. He says, love one as I have loved you. That's a pretty high standard. But he enables us to do that. How can I possibly love in accordance with that standard? It can only do it as I abide in his love. I can only do it as the Holy Spirit of God sheds his love abroad in my heart. And then, only then can I love and live as the character of the Lord Jesus Christ flows through me by the influence of the Holy Spirit. When I am in that relationship and I'm abiding, only then can I love others like I ought to love, because it's the love of Christ flowing through me, that flowing from the vine to the branch. Jesus also says another benefit of abiding is he says those who abide in him are his friends. Verse number 15, look here, it says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know, in obedience, as we obey, we're invited to walk with God, not just in blind obedience or without a purpose or without a relationship. No, our obedience is that in a partnership with the one that we love. Abraham was called the friend of God. And how did he enter into that relationship? Hebrews 11 tells us in Hebrews 11, 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, key word here, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. When God was about to destroy Sodom, he shared that information with his friend Abraham. He said, Abraham, a friend can be trusted with information. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to share this with you because I know I can trust you to do right. You know, there's a loyalty there that makes it safe. But notice how Jesus links this friendship with obedience in verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. So not only we have that has the benefits of joy, the benefits of being able to love one another rightly, the benefits of the friendship with God, and but also we have with this kind of relationship and fellowship, our prayers become effectual. It means they are effective. They work. John 15, 7, he says, abide, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Notice there's two conditions for to have effectual prayer. If ye abide in me, that means we're to be obedient to the Lord. It means we stay in the realm of his will for our lives. We stay in that vital fellowship with him. But then he says, and my words remain in you. Made me think of Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. See, when God's word becomes engrafted in our heart, we start thinking right. We start doing right. We even pray right according to the will of the Father. We would pray. Effectual prayer is not just getting God to do what I think he should do. Effectual prayer is me getting so connected with God that I'm partnering with him in what he wants to do, and I'm praying the kind of prayers that he can righteously answer in my life. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So this morning, just kind of wrap it up, put a bow on all that. Simply this, Jesus wants all that, all of that for you and I. And biblical Christianity, real Bible Christianity, is all of that. And much of what we experience really in our life, if we're honest, really is sub-Christian. We miss out on a lot. It's not that we don't belong to the Lord, it's just that we live way below the privilege that is ours in Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling us to do one thing in this passage. He says, stay connected with him. Live in fellowship with him. Draw our life and our strength from him. Obey him. Depend upon him. And it's all wrapped up in that imperative, abide in me. And just encourage us this morning, quit trying to be the vine. And you know, if we'll all just determine, hey, just be a branch. Be a branch. Be a branch that abides. And it's the vine that will produce the fruit. Amen. Let's pray.